Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is our great friend, longtime radio and TV talent here in Northeast Ohio, Michael Regei. Michael, welcome.
Thanks, Vic. Always good to talk to you, buddy.
Great to have you aboard with us, man. And let's get into it. Lots to talk about with you because we really haven't, on this airwave at least, had a chance to discuss so much that this team has done. I want to take it from the standpoint of how the rubber is really meeting the road finally with players in Berea and inching closer to the time where they go from the weight room where they are now and all the work that they're doing with strength and conditioning to the field and to the reality of the parts fitting what this new-look Browns team will be about. And it's really going to be, I think, a dramatically new look, especially when you hear what the defensive players are saying about their enthusiasm over being part of Ray Horton's scheme.
You know, Vic, I've said right from day one when you combined Rob Chudzinski coming in here, a young man who I've known for a long, long time since
right.
his playing days at Toledo St. John's, who's an outstanding tight end here. But, Vic, I even got more invigorated when it became known that it was going to be North Turner running his offense and then Ray Horton coming in to team up with Chud defensively, because to me these two guys are two of the elite. They are two of the upper tier offensive and defensive minds in Turner and in Horton that we have in the NFL. And I would think that enthusiasm that you're talking about and the sense of just wanting to go and wanting to put in these new systems and how it's going to invigorate this football team, I certainly can understand, and we won't be able to see the players on the field for a couple of weeks, but it certainly stands to reason that everybody that's going to get an opportunity to show what they're about in this type of system with, again, two guys like Turner and Horton, who certainly are over the top in terms of their cachet and in terms of the success they've had in the NFL. Why wouldn't you be excited about it, Vic, if you're a player?
And I think it's really important, especially critical, that that positive feedback comes from the guys like DeQuell Jackson, who mentioned it on this show yesterday, and Joe Hayden mentioning it on this show today. Two of the incumbent players, key players, buying in already and immediately seeing to them something that they can not only fit with, but something that they think can make them more productive, impactful players. Because it's one thing for Paul Kruger. I mean, you're bringing him in specifically to be part of this. He's a new piece joining the new piece that is the defensive coordinator. But it's the guys like Jackson and Hayden, the Ataba Rubens. I mean, they're the ones whose enthusiasm, I think, and real buy-in has got to matter, because that's got to permeate to the other guys who obviously were listening to a different coaching voice before Ray Horton and this defensive staff showed up.
Sure, Vic, as you mentioned the defensive side of the football with Horton. Look, guys, I've found, and I'm sure you have too, is most guys, they're going to do their homework, right? They're pretty much, to use the cliche, students of the game. So when DeQuell and Joe and even some of the younger players that this football team is going to have defensively, like Phil Taylor and T.J. Ward, and guys that have got to be key components of it, look, they know what Ray Horton's been all about, right? They know that he was a tough, hard-hitting corner, maybe a little bit undersized, but a guy in his NFL career that played the game the right way, certainly was all about showing toughness and enthusiasm as a player. It's translated to his time in the coaching side of it, becoming a coordinator. And Vic, you know how it is. We've heard it, you guys like you and me, we've heard it down through our years that when players get a sense and there's that understanding of them being coached by a guy who's played, right, and who's succeeded and who has had the type of not only versatility but durability that a Ray Horton had in the NFL, and he's coming in and talking about, I want big guys that can run and small guys that can hit and fly around, that becomes infectious. And I think that we're going to find out, you got to go put the pads on and play, but I think from that standpoint that that's something that this Browns defensive group has got to, you know, want to grab onto and have to be very excited about playing under the philosophies and schemes of Array Horton.
Michael Ragai joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Michael, as we take a big picture look at what this team has done through free agency, and I think now we know that the focus is pretty much for these remaining weeks about the draft, but that they've addressed some key areas that needed to be done. I know they didn't, the shopping list wasn't all checked off here, and I think it would have been unrealistic. In fact, I think a little foolhardy to say, well, you're going to hit all your needs in this first run at free agency. But I think they did the right thing by prioritizing that pass rushing position first, by getting those linebackers, those outside linebackers like Kruger, like Quentin Groves, by getting a defensive lineman like Desmond Bryant to be a game changer up front. Add to the depth at cornerback. Maybe you get someone who starts there, but at the very least you get a slot guy, a nickel guy in a Chris Owens, and you see what else you have there. Get a couple of tight ends in the mix. That's another position of need. And a kicker. You had to get a kicker here, and you're probably going to get at least one more before all is said and done. But I'm happy with how this has gone because it's been extensive enough. It's not necessarily all headline. It's not headline material, but I think it's been methodical. And you've left yourself enough in the way of what you didn't spend to do more of this work next year, because I think this is at the minimum a truly 2-year process of free agent shopping to be, and then you incorporate your draft work with that.
Vic, it's apparent to me, and I think as you just laid out, this was planned out very meticulously, right, by Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi and all of those that have joined this front office. It was planned out, and they want to go out and execute the way that they felt best, and as you alluded to, the defensive side of the ball, of course, certainly where was the heavy impact was. You know, but with regard to free agency, Vic, and I think it's a misconception that, fans kind of make a lot. You don't go get megastars in free agency. I mean, that's not what the NFL is all about. I mean, if you look back at it, again, now, and ironically, Vic, in the last couple of years, think about this, and on the defensive side of the ball, the Buffalo Bills with Mario Williams, right? Mm-hmm. And the Philadelphia Eagles with Nnamdi Asamoah. And quite frankly, I mean, without trying to be real disparaging, both of those two, if you want to put them in that category, extremely disappointing, correct?
Sure,
for their football team.
Yeah, for what was spent on them, disappointing is the right way to put it.
Absolutely. In other words, you want to be more straight to the point. No bang for the buck with either one of them. Not so far. Asamoah's already gone from Philly, and after millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, he's in San Francisco now.
Yeah, we're spent on him. And, you know about the Buffalo Bills organization as well as anybody, Vic. I mean, they're needing a large jolt for Mario Williams this year that they really didn't get last for the, $90 million they spent on him?
Yeah.
So, again, that's not really what free agency is about. It's about orchestrating a plan and going out and getting guys. Sure, you hope they are good to, strong football players for your system. And, again, I think that's exactly what the Browns did. But, again, I just try to stay away from the thought, well, I didn't get any real big, these outstanding elite household names. Normally you don't in free agency, correct? I mean, that's not what free agency is.
I think you're right. Free agents, the successful free agent shopping is when you hit the key areas you need hit and you get guys at the right phase of their career, at that
correct.
Up and climbing sort of. They haven't been like necessarily regular starters over a period of time, but they're ready to bust out. I think the guys that you get at the apex of their career, often the disappointment is they start their downward trend when they come to you. And I've had any number of football people, this isn't a Browns thing. I mean, I've heard this from any number of people being around this league a long time, say that. And that generally the player who joins you doesn't help you, it doesn't help the new team as much as his absence hurts the team he was on. So I think that's another way to look at it. But yes, you're making a great point there. And here's the other thing, Michael, that comes up quite a bit, and you hear the same thing I do from fans. there's this clamor. It's not quite as loud as it was last year. Last year was the offseason about, will the Browns do something to help themselves at receiver? We're still hearing that now. I think it's been rephrased to say, will they get a veteran receiver to complement what Josh Gordon and Greg Little are going to bring, and we'll see what else is part of this at the receiving position, with Travis Benjamin, whatever else they have at the receiving position in the way of depth. But I'm still not – well, I would say at this stage of free agency, I don't see them doing that. The biggest names of the receiver position are on new teams, Mike Wallace, Greg Jennings. I think you've turned the corner there, but when it – or turned the page there. When you look at the draft – and that's not bringing you a veteran guy. I think that's where you augment the position a little more, but mostly depend on the guys you have being better. This is the answer I give people. Expect those guys, expect Gordon and Little and Benjamin and others who are part of this receiving core to make a bigger impact going forward. Yep. I mean, those guys improving with an offense that is better coached.
That's what the hope is, and look, let's be very forthright about this too, Vic. I mean, when you hear Jimmy Haslam and when you heard Joe Banner, and even the brief synopsis of things that we heard from Michael Lombardi, it's not that much different than the way Tom Eckert was laying out the foundation for this football team. And Vic, I'm an admirer of what Tom Eckert did. I mean, there's 19 draft picks in the last 3 years that are the foundation of this football team that are on this football team right now. So, and they're there for a reason, and you just laid it out. Now you're looking for the enhancement of their games, right? You're looking for them to take that next step and that improvements, and you laid out in the receiver position Gordon, Little, and Benjamin. Well, even though he's a tight end, I'm throwing Jordan Cameron in there as well. Then you add Jordan Norwood to it, and there's five young guys, Vic, right? Five young guys that have played either a year or two in the National Football League now, and we saw some of the signs with each and every one of them. And, yes, I mean, that's how you ultimately build. Again, can you add to it? Well, sure, you can add to it. But I'm always going to stay consistent, Vic, if nothing else. I was very pleased that of what was out there that last year the Browns did not go and add that veteran wide receiver, the free agent, that most of them were all 34 years of age and over. And I understand why. I'm in line with that. Same thing this year. Now, Greg Jennings intrigued me. Again, as I said that on the airwaves a lot. Jennings intrigued me, but I can understand, and the Browns maybe felt either the price was too high, coming off a couple years of injury, and I believe turning 30 years of age. They've laid that out in the sand, and look, it's proven to have been right around the NFL. Vic, we say it all the time. You augment through free agency, yes, but don't we certainly have to point out that for years and years, teams like the New York Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, the Philadelphia Eagles, they didn't believe in free agency, did they?
No.
And every one of them has been to a Super Bowl or won Super Bowl championships. So, yes, you intersperse, but the foundation and the strength of your team and the core has got to come out of the young players that you draft and develop, and then you add a little bit here and there. And I know we hear that a lot, and but it's the truth, Vic. That's how you win in the National Football League.
Yeah, it really is. No, there's no doubt about it, and I think – again, philosophically, it's still about augmenting what you have. And you make a great point about what was already here. And the people who are making the decisions now acknowledge that there was good youth in place, that they're coming to a place that gave them something to work with. So now it's about doing the right things to augment that. And it is obviously some of it through free agency, a lot of it through the draft, and it'll be fascinating to see, how that plays out in the next couple of weeks. Michael, thank you so much for your time, your insights, and I know we'll catch up again in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, always enjoy it, Vic. And it's going to be a lot of fun, of course, with all of us here at ESPN Cleveland now starting May 1st, along with the CBS folks in town being the radio flagship of the Browns. So I think we're in for some real exciting times, both on the football field and off for the Cleveland Browns.
There is no doubt about that. He is Michael Regei, and he is joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.